Hello and welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash Custom Pikachu. We don't evolve, we just level up. Here with Pickle Loose.
Dude, I should I'm gonna change it right now.
Pickle Loose. Michael Schumer, the rebel in law. Yes, I'm plugging
something like that. Future I can't
potential
spell.
Name. All right, we're here to talk Stranger Things. Part one of three, volume one. I think it's called volume one.
Yeah, I think it's called volume one too. That sounds right.
Episodes 1 through 4 of season 5. We're going to talk about kind of what happened, our questions afterwards, our theories, and then get into our ratings quickly. And then for the podcast, we'll talk Pluribus after this. For YouTube, you'll see that video later on. All right, let's get into it. What happened? All right, so Stranger Things, they released 4 episodes for season 5 on Thanksgiving, about 2 weeks from our recording. So the first scene that we get is Will, back from season 1, stuck in the Upside Down. He is caught by Vecna and affected by a tentacle. And it kind of changes a little bit, because from our understanding of Will, is he was alone running away from a Demogorgon, and it was like, no, he got caught specifically by Vecna or Henry, however you want.
Well, I think we knew he got caught. We didn't know he was, because they found him like that, I remember, at the end of season 1. But we just thought it was just like, oh, the Demogorgons did it to him. Which, yep. To be fair, I actually really do like. I'm going to say this is technically, I guess it's not a retcon, because they're not like changing continuity.
It feels like a retcon.
It kind of feels like a retcon. But anyways, I actually do like it, though, because it always was odd to me that Will survived in the fucking Upside Down as a 10-year-old for like,
yeah.
Like what, like 2 weeks or a week or something like that? It was not it makes, easy.
It makes sense. All right, we'll get through, though. Okay, 19 months, you know, four years later, 19 months after from, I believe, season 4, The U.S. military has put Hawkins into quarantine. We have, and they're currently hunting for Eleven. She is hiding and training with Joyce and Hopper. We have Will, Lucas, and Mike. They're on the down low, going to school, going to high school, even though they look like they're nearly 30. We have Dustin, who continues to honor Eddie by wearing the Hellfire shirt, getting bullied by the basketball team. We have Steve, Robin, Jonathan, and Nancy all working at a local radio station, and they basically code their messages to everybody else to kind of highlight when they're doing, when the military is doing crawls. That way, Hopper can go in and check out different areas while they look out for Vecna. During the episode, Dustin confronts his bullies, the basketball team from that Lucas previously was a part of in season 4, and at one point he gets beaten up by the Grave and misses a crawl where Jonathan kind of has to take over instead of Dustin. The crawl goes awry. That's what this description says. It goes not great as a Demogorgon attacks and Hopper is forced to take shelter. Will is telepathically witnessing all the attacks and sees what the Demogorgon sees, and then sees that they're heading towards the Wheeler residence. Also, Holly is, what is it? What's his name? Mr. What's it?
Mm-hmm. I have some takes on this, by the way.
I have takes, too. I have thoughts on that, too.
I feel like you and I probably have the same mind.
Probably. All right, in Chapter 2, The Vanishing of Holly Wheeler, Demogorgons attack and severely injure Mike and Nancy's parents, Karen and Ted. Holly disappears into the Upside Down. Eleven follows the Demogorgon through the gate, and eventually she finds Hopper. The two of them search for Holly while they encounter a giant wall around Hawkins. Jonathan accuses Steve of competing for Nancy's attention, and they find Dustin, who is bloodied. Lucas continues to look after Max. Nancy and Mike finally realize that Mr. What's-It is probably Vecna, which describes, or you know, basically explains her disappearance. Robert Robin then kind of tells Will, like, hey, let's use your ability to, you know, look into the eyes of the Demogorgon to track Holly in the Upside Down. Karen informs Nancy that and Mike that Mr. What's his first name is Henry, realizing it's Vecna all along. And then Will realizes that he can discover different targets of Vecna before they are taken, which the next target is Derek Turnbow, who is, I like him.
I do like
him. I like that dude.
He's a dick, but like, I like him.
He's Eric Cartman reincarnated.
I agree. I think that's accurate.
Yeah. All right. In chapter 3, the Turnbow Trap, Vecna targets Derek. Hopper and Eleven fail to break through the massive wall and then are ambushed and meet with the L's Kryptonite, the giant sonic waves. Basically, sound is their weakness.
Yeah, yep, yep.
They attack the soldiers and then interrogate Lieutenant Akers to conclude at the end of this that Dr. K, which is the new big bad for the government, is holding Vecna at a base. Will, Nancy, and Mike inform the group that Vecna lured Holly. They come up with a plan to use Derek as a bait and basically kidnap and use that whole family as a bait to trap a Demogorgon and then take it to figure out where the Demogorgon goes. The plan kind of just unravels because Derek wakes up early and Will realizes the Demogorgon has located the group and then comes back. Holly finds herself in Henry's childhood home, gets a note to leave, and then she encounters Max in the dream world.
I like that a lot. I'll be honest, really quick. I just want to throw that in there.
The dream world or Max
being Max, the dream man, world? I like how they integrated her into the plot.
I do too. It's cool. I don't know about the dream world. It feels very Nightmare in Elm Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Also confusing because it's like, are they in the Upside Down or are they in the dream world or are they in Dimension X, which is like a different dimension altogether?
Yeah.
Chapter 4, Sorcerer, which makes perfect sense once we get to the end of this. Hopper and Eleven infiltrate the military base, intending to kill Vecna. They meet Dr. K, defeat the soldiers, and discover that the captive is not Vecna. It is Callie, a survivor, and Elle's sister. Number 10, isn't it?
I can't remember. It might be 10 or 9. It's only 10, 9. It's a number.
Or is it 8? Or is 8 the other? It's one
I just want to say how hilarious it was when she showed up, because I feel like that is the most hated episode of Stranger Things, and they're like, we're going to make it work. We had an idea for this. Let's
bring them back.
Yeah.
Max explains to Holly that they're entrapped inside Vecna's memories, nicknamed the Kamazots. By Holly, where Max has remained ever since her brief death. Will's group is attacked by Demogorgon until Dustin, Steve, Nancy, and Jonathan chase into the Upside Down. The military detains children and Hopkins for potential victims. Will experiences the vision of Holly and the three other children being restrained by tentacles and has empty spots for 8 more. So essentially 12, whatever reason. The show likes to do numbers. Will's group infiltrates the base to smuggle the children out of Hawkins. However, Demogorgons and Vecna, very boss-like, burst through the Upside Down, slaughter most of the soldiers, kidnaps Vecna's targets, including Derek. But before retreating to the back, Vecna tells Will that he intends to use the children, whom he calls perfect vessels, to reshape the world. And then at the same time, Mike, Lucas, Robin, is it just those three? We're about to be killed by Demogorgons, and then Will unlocks his psychic abilities, becomes the anti-Vecna, or whatever he is, and then stops them from attacking his friends, and then, in a very Vecna-like way, kills the Demogorgons, with their bodies. And that is what happened in Stranger Things. Season 5, Volume 1 of 3, or 2. I don't know
three, how this works. 3. It's Christmas, and then New Year's is when they're going to drop
them. Oh, wait. Never mind. It's right here. Volume 1, Volume 2, Finale.
Yeah, so that's going to be fine. Just call Volume 3 finale, whatever.
All right, and then on Christmas, we have Chapter 5, Shock Jock, which a lot of people are thinking Robin dies. Which, spoiler alerts for everyone for the first four episodes. I'm way too late on the spoiler alerts. I feel like it's just a given at this point.
Yeah.
Chapter 6, Escape from Kamazots. I wonder what that one's about. Chapter 7, The Bridge. And then the last one, Chapter 8, Right Side Up. Now, into my favorite segment. Five questions to appease Michael, because he does not like more than five questions.
Tell him how many questions you told me you had.
20. Oh, I have 9, just in case you don't supply any more questions.
So I feel bad because they're not really questions. That is, I do have some thoughts though. But I'll try to format them as questions.
I have the first one.
Okay.
Well, actually, before this, let's talk about how we rate each season, because I think that's important context.
Sure.
For how we feel about this. So I know we talked in our gathering of our, mutual family events. I think we are in a pretty good spot. Mm-hmm. I think we're in agreement where we think the rankings are. And
I'm going to interject real quick.
Yes.
We should add where we put Volume 1 in with this list. I think that will also help give it context.
Okay. I can do that. Well, okay. Let me give me the four, and then we can discuss where we put Volume 1.
Okay, that's
fair. Actually, let's save it until we get into the ratings. But I'll kind of like give you my list. So my last place is Season 3, which is, I think, a minority for a lot of people. My biggest thing is I didn't really care for the character moments in the show. I didn't think it was bad. I still gave like the season a 3+. I think it's a solid season. I think it moves the plot forward, and the plot is probably the most interesting up until season 4. But the character, it just sacrifices a lot of character moments, and it's just the plot forced things to happen rather than letting it happen naturally. My biggest moment is Joyce going, "The magnets!" And her new conspiracy theory for season 3, which is fucking hilarious. I enjoy Joyce. So season 3, and then season 2, because season 2 is boring. It follows the formula of season 1, but the plot is just not that exciting. But the character moments are great, which is why I have it higher. If someone wants to argue with me that season 2 is the worst and season 3 is, after that, they're both 3+ for me. And then it's season 4, because I think season 4 had the highest highs, but as a season, it's very, it's too long in a lot of places. It's the pacing throws it off, and so I think season 1 is the best season, but I think the biggest highs are in season 4. And volume 1, I feel, is what we'll save volume 1. So, my first question for you, Michael. How do we feel about this episode setup? Usually Netflix just releases everything at once. I know there's a problem with it.
Well,
season 4 did a thing where it was like, we're going to release in like I think 3 different sections.
Yep.
So and here's this year and then this year, just to finish up and I'll let you answer.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas, the New Year's. I do like they're using the holidays as a set date, but how do you feel about 2 weeks after now of the first volume 1 dropping? How do we feel about this release setup?
Okay, so I'll start it from a business perspective, and then I'll give it her so feelings.
Okay.
Very shrewd from a business perspective, because it's literally 3 months. November, December, January. You got to be subbed. I mean, you could watch it all in January. Well, January would fall under a different bill cycle.
Five to 6 weeks.
But it would literally be in November, December. You would have to carry your subscription through those 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because it's January 1st, I believe, is when it drops. It's not the 31st, it's the 1st. So, anyways, I mean, assuming that's their intention, I think it's very, very smart.
Smart, but true.
I can say I do think I agree with you. I kind of like it a lot. Like, I really do like it a lot. This is both a reason I like it, but it's also a shrewd business decision. People are going to be able to watch TV. You're watching your Thanksgiving, you have Black Friday off, you have Saturday off, you have Sunday off. This year, most people, I suspect, are going to be off the 26th as well, which will be a Friday. So you're going to have Christmas Eve, Christmas.
And then the weekend.
And then the weekend. Same thing again, happening again over New Year's. So I feel like in that way, it is very, very smart, astute move of like going where you know the client or you know the clientele is going to be available. And I think it's also like for the other thing that's cool is like you and I are just talking about this before the show. We might be watching some of these episodes together over Christmas. So that's kind of cool. Yeah.
That'd be dope. My thought process is I like this better than dropping it all at once. I'm not a big fan of dropping it all at once. It's a lot to take in one moment. And then it seems like we get really, as a society, we get really into it. And then like after a week or two, it's just like we move on to the next thing.
Yep.
That being said, and I think as a podcaster, I feel this too. Like as a fan, I don't mind this. As a podcaster, as someone who wants to talk about things on a daily, week to week is so much better. I feel like it's always been better. Because 2 weeks later, most people are now talking, they're not talking Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. Like, we're late to this. And I can't even say this is a show that I'm most excited to talk about this week. There's other shows. Pluribus is being one of them.
This is peak cuffing season material right here. Like, all you young college students out there, this is peak. You're just going to hang out with your slice and binge watch as much good television as you can handle.
This is true. But then you only have 4 episodes to watch, right? And, you know, Christmas comes out, you have 3, and then you have 1. And I like it better than them just dropping it all at once. I would rather talk about this week to week, right? Because like we had, you know, it's 2 weeks, so we'd be 3 episodes in. We'd be talking about, you know, what was happening in episode 3. I'm trying to think of, you know, how the plan of getting the Demogorgons, we'd be like, oh, what's next? What's to come? We already know what's next.
I think my only thing is like, do you think I'll be direct, actually. Is Stranger Things have a kind of quality of show to be episodic without being boring? So I was watching, I've been watching, well, one of the shows we're going to talk about later today, Pluribus. But I was also watching Severance. I've started watching that. I've not picked it up yet. I'm like way behind the times on that. I'm like literally in the Stone Age.
How far are you in that?
Episode 4. Some crazy shit just went down. Season 1? Yeah.
Okay.
So anyways, but I was just watching and I was like, God, this show was so crazy. And I'm pretty sure that's another one that's weekly as well. Or maybe it was. It was. Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like in at least this day, these days, it separates the wheat from the chaff for a weaker television show. If you're weekly, you're shit. You know you have to stick that landing every episode to make sure people want to come back and watch the next one.
I don't know about every episode.
You can have some slow episodes, but like overall, the quality just has to keep you like, oh, I got to like, I got to tune back in to watch the next one. Which you could say that about binging. But there's enough there to discuss, you know? Like, I feel like we're talking about Stranger Things 5, Volume 1. And, like, really, like, to me, I don't really remember the episodes. I just know the overall. I mean, I probably could if I, like, remember, like, okay, where did they end it? But I think it's more relevant that we, like, we have the episodes that we just, or the body of the work as a whole kind of thing.
I don't know. I feel like this season is... I feel like the 4 episodes were decent enough, and I think Stranger Things had the hype they could do week to week. I truly think they would be successful if they wanted to do week to week. For whatever reason, Netflix doesn't want to do... Like, that's just not what they do. And in a weird way, I respect that. And I respect that they're like, hey, for this time, we'll release it in 3 different segments. And I don't even mind when shows release like a bunch of episodes to start. Because it gets you interested, it gets you hyped into it, and it gives you more to like talk about and grasp onto. Whereas, like sometimes that first episode doesn't necessarily hook you, but the it'll hook you enough for like the second and third, and it's right there ready for you to just take it in. Mm-hmm. That being said, I don't know. I think Stranger Things really could have released like maybe the first two or just the first one. Like, yeah.
Here's my take on it. Actually, I'll say this. I would rather they go all in one way or the other. Either do episode. I actually don't care for the volumes. I mean, it's cool how it's timing out this year specifically. Yes. But overall, I would prefer, like, I'm saying in general, it'd be nice. Like, if you're watching, like, if Pluribus was airing, like, started in Thanksgiving and then was going to end in that, that would be cool too, because we'd be able to talk about it on those holidays and watch an episode together. Mm-hmm. But in this case, like, I would rather they just say, all right, we're just going to drop it all at once. Or we're just going to episodic. Just like one or the other.
Otherwise, the episodic. So I like talking about this shit on a weekly basis. And we're like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I agree. You know?
So it's just, they're just, they gave us a lot. And we, but I feel like there's only a little bit to talk about. So that's, you know, and plus it's a lot to digest as well. Even though I think this story, season five, doesn't have a whole lot of, like, different plot lines, it's all kind of one consolidated plot.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of theories. But let's get into some more questions. And Michael, if you have one, I want you to give it to me.
So we kind of talked about this earlier before the pod, but, like, how are you feeling about the dialogue? Do you feel like too... so I was telling you, like, my complaint was, I'm going to say campy, but it's not the right word. Oh, they're just giving too many exposition dumps, and I can't stand it. And I feel like they would have been better served just doing a recap episode. Not like an actual episode, but like on Netflix, like before we start, you know, you're like, previously on Stranger Things, and just like, boom, boom, boom.
Last time on Stranger Things.
Yep. And, like, just, like, a brief, like, 15-minute, like, hey, here's the story so far. Like, they could have dropped that, like, a week before they did the show. And people were like, oh, hell yeah, I'll watch this. I don't want to watch the show. I'll just watch this real quick. And I feel like that would have been better, because I cannot stand how they treat everybody. Like, you can't remember. I'm like, I fucking remember this show. Oh, it bugs the hell out of me.
Yeah, it didn't bother me in the moment, but I know when rewatching it, it bothers me. I hate exposition. One of the reasons why I don't like I don't have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1 rated higher is because that movie needs so much exposition for you to understand it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like in dialogue the first time you're fine, you're like, oh, I'm learning all this new information, but the second, third, fourth time, you know, it's like, oh, why is Rocket speaking to Groot in this fashion? Like, wouldn't they already know this?
Exactly. You know,
and that's kind of how I feel with, like, when it comes to exposition and dialogue. It's like, this doesn't serve the purpose. But generally, I don't really care that much about this, the start of Volume 1. Mostly because it feels like we just get really into the plot. And it's not like a character-driven thing. It's a very plot-driven season. Which is where I kind of felt with season three. And I think I know that the same people who love season three love season five this far, and they're like, oh, it's really good. I'm like, there's a lot of plot, but there are some characters that are acting weird. And I want to start with the first one from one of my questions. Are we buying Joyce's character in season five?
I feel like they have no fucking clue what to do with Winona Ryder. You're like, we're holding on to you because people really liked you in season one. And we just have no...
She's... I'm so pissed off. Because one, Joyce is my MVC for season one. She is like... She's the character that, like, drives that season. And I really love her character because, like, she's a mom who's just like, I have this feeling that my son is still alive and he's speaking to me. I know it's crazy. I have this theory. I'm testing it out and it's happening. And then every season after that, she has this crazy conspiracy theory where she seems fucking nuts. And then she, you know, dives into it, experiments with it, and then finds out that it's true. Season one, her son's alive and speaking to her. Season two, it's the tunnels mean something, and you know, Will's, there's something going on with Will. Season 3, The Magnets. Fucking love it. it was so dumb, but like, again, she had something to do. She had to figure out what the magnets were. If the, you know, the lab was back, and it wasn't, but it was Russians. Season 4, someone's sending me things from Russia. Maybe it's Hopper, goes on all the way to Russia. That's a whole thing because, you know, she endangered her children, you know, more so than what you would imagine. But even when you think, like, if they were just fine, it's like, well, if you cared this much about your kids, why are you risking life slash, you know, essentially abandoning them when Jonathan's not that guy to really take care of his brother? Yeah. Like, he's just hasn't been. But this season, there's nothing. She's the mom that holds Will back.
It's very far from grace for her.
She's the selfish mom who only cares about Hopper, her boy toy.
Mm.
And it's just, for me, it's like, who the like, this isn't Joyce.
Yeah,
this isn't her character. What's her arc? And like, they just have her being this bad leader, and I'm like, I feel like Joyce really should have been the leader of the group.
I think even so, if, too.
And like, I don't mind her having those flaws. I don't mind her holding Will back. But like, that's all she is right now.
And I think that's just, you kind of said it perfectly. Like, I think it would have been much more interesting to see her be the true leader of the group.
Yeah.
And then have to grapple with the fact that, like, especially now, like, with Will's, as we'll get into, like, Will's new kind of state in the party. Sorry, I'm adjusting something here. It's fucking the piss out of me. And then I just made it worse. Well, that's fine. Anyways, but is to have her grapple with, like, oh, like, kind of commander, like, having to send a soldier they have a very personal connection with into the field at risk of getting harmed or dying. Like, but, like, she has to because it keeps other people safe and stops the same. It's like, and, like, what I did, like, what I will say is, like, where Joyce is falling, I do feel like they are giving Will a little bit more to do because for the longest time.
To Mike.
Really?
Mike's becoming that leader.
Oh, I was going to say, just like, I'm saying, like, overall character wise. Like, I'm saying, like development wise, because I always felt like, I'm like, Will just is kind of like, other than season 1 and 2, he has his moments, but he's just kind of there, you know? Like, they're like, we don't really know what to do with you. You're just like, you're the kid that survived the upside down.
Which, here's the thing, they're giving Will the worst time in the give Will something.
Yeah.
Right? Noah Schnapp, not liked. He's not a liked person with this whole, you know, political take. I'm not really getting into it. I that's a part that I'm trying to just separate just so I can, you know, I haven't really looked deeply into his political views, but I am aware that people don't like him. On top of the fact that he's not that great of an actor.
No.
And so I'm just like, I honestly think Will should have just died.
Yeah, maybe at least this season.
Like, they're giving him powers, they're giving him something. I'm like, that's great. He should have had that season 2. He should have had that season 3.
It would have made him much more interesting.
It would have been better in season 4. But you're doing this in season 5 with everything that's going on, and you're diminishing one of the best characters in your show, which is Joyce, to do it. You're sidelining your A star.
Yeah, he does it. I don't quite. I get why, but I also think that kind of what you're saying is like the ship has sailed. Or it's just not like, it's like, I guess better late than never, but like the last season's a hell of a time to have him be actually relevant, I guess. So.
You got one for me?
What do you... I was going to save this one for later, but I'm kind of curious, because I'm not super into D&D. Like, not, like, out of not wanting to, but just more out of just not really
into it. It's fun. You should join our show, which is my plug-in for Roll for the End, The Bleak. YouTube show. YouTube show coming out every other Saturday, we release a show Saturday morning. I got with DMT Tom, Brandon, Donald, friends of the show, as well as Mike.
You need to start saying friends of the show more often. That's such a like such friends a base of the show. Such a base take. That'd be a great show name, actually. Anyways, but I think I don't know. I think this season's just been kind of like this season for like introducing like Will's powers has been kind of like bad time too. But anyways, my question was that I was gonna ask is, do you think like what classes are character? What classes would you assign each of the characters?
Ooh.
Based off like their role? Like I, you know, Max is a Zoomer because that's what she said she was. That's not a real thing.
I've seen many takes on this. Whereas, like, you have Hopper being a barbarian.
I can see that.
He's like barbarian or paladin. I mean, he doesn't have any powers, but he's very much that tank fighter. I see Steve as being the fighter, and that fits to a degree. You have Robin being a bard. She talks a lot. Makes sense. Elle, you have as kind of like, I think they call her a wizard, but she's more of a sorcerer. And they have, you know, Will now being a sorcerer, even though I think he fits more of the warlock category or class.
What's the difference between a warlock and a sorcerer in D&D terms?
So and wizard too. So the three difference, because they're both like magic users. So you have a wizard. They've learned from a book, right? Okay. They've studied, they learned, they have a lot more access to spells. You have the sorcerer who has like the innate magical ability, as in whether it's born, whether it's given, like it's more like having a superpower. So like sure. L fits the sorcerer category more than the wizard. Warlock, you get it from a patron or you get it from a book, and it's more like a cursed thing. So like for Will, he gets it from Vecna, right? He's cursed with the bug, and then it gets out of him, but he still has the powers from Vecna. He has the powers of the thing that he's trying to defeat. So he fits more of a warlock category than he does the sorcerer. And to me, I'm like, it's fine. I don't care. They call him a sorcerer and they call El the wizard. It's whatever. Mike, Lucas, I don't know. Dustin's an artificer because he makes a lot of gadgets.
Okay.
And then Mike, I don't know where you'd put him. It's hard because like they don't fall under the classic tropes a lot of the times because, you know, they're more normal humans, but no, it's fun. I have a lot of shows I'll put people in the classes, especially if it's
would very you say indie, like I'm just out of curiosity, what would you say like Nancy and Jonathan are?
Nancy's also, I would say, a fighter. More of like that shotgun gun.
See, I would have thought fighter. She was like a rogue fighter combo, just because she does a lot of like being sneaky and like investigating and getting her nose in places where it shouldn't be. And in that case.
That works too. I mean, like, rogue is like a fighter sneaker. Like, that makes sense. Jonathan, I don't know where to put him either.
He's I feel like he would Steve be distinctly more rogue than anything. Or like,
oh,
because yeah, he's just like very, like, I would say he's very, like, oh, yeah, just sneaky, like, shifty kind of guy.
Taking pictures of naked women and, you know, houses. And then we completely just like, oh, he's the nice guy.
That was kind of an odd choice.
All right, let's get into some deeper stuff. Who do we think is the big bad of this season of Stranger Things as a whole? I've seen a lot of different theories. From season 4, we got the idea of Vecna being like, I'm in control. I'm control of the Mind Flayer. And so a lot of us thought like, oh, he's the big bad. He controls the Mind Flayer. He controls everything else. But then we get, you know, into Vecna's backstory with like the play and other things. And I think a little bit of in season 5, we saw that the idea that the Mind Flayer is possibly in control of Vecna, or the Mind Flayer and the Vecna are working together.
Why did the Mind Flayer and Vecna were confirmed working together last season?
Well, they're together, but it's like, who's controlling who? Vecna said he's controlling Mind Flayer. We get more idea or more inklings that the Mind Flayer might be in control, or other theory, it's something else. Okay, and a lot of people are like, question. Oh, maybe it's Tiamat.
I need to say
from
one
D&D lore.
Okay, that would be interesting. You, just the way you paused there, you sounded like Christopher Walken, and I have all lost it. Just another thing,
I gotta work on my my voices, especially since I'm getting more in the D&D. I'm all over the place.
Maybe there's like a, you could like have ChatGPT coach you through it or something. Like, how does my wizened old man voice? Shitty. Anyways, but like, I would say I don't want them to introduce another big bad. I feel like that would kind of like undercut. Like that's like, oh, like it just kind of like takes the threat of Vecna away, and it's like, okay, yeah, it's this other thing. It's, I mean, it's still cool, but, and it's cool, like more D&D, like dirty shit, which I'm all about. Mm. But,
it's the dragon.
To answer the question,
from season one.
What was that?
It's the dragon that they beat in the, you know, in the campaign from season one. That was also another theory.
So the other thing I was gonna say. Is I think it could be both, like for the Mind Flayer and Vecna. So this is, I'm gonna get into like a different franchise altogether here. That I know you know that I love and I'm gonna nerd out about. But there's a very similar thing in Final Fantasy of like Sephiroth and his mother Genova. And Genova's like this part you think is very cool. It's like this alien that crashed down on the planet and literally just started like transform it, like it would see you and be like, kill you, and then transform into you and be like, hey, Sam, well, you know, go up to your wife and kids and be like, hey, I'm you, and then just slowly starts to take over and assimilate in the culture. And it's like a hive mind, kind of like a malicious hive mind. It's like a cancer on the earth. Long story short, that's Sephiroth's mother, and so like there's a theory in like that community of like, who's calling the shots there? And the creators themselves have been like, it's kind of both, like they're not he is part of it, but like in some ways he acts on behalf of it, but he still has like agency in and of himself. And I think that could be the case here, where it's like, it's could just be like two sides of one coin, like it doesn't really matter. But anyways, so that's my take on it.
I don't know if I have a lead here. I'm kind of just like, I don't know what I prefer. I hope it's not confusing. I hope like whoever it is, like, I hope Vecna has some type of agency and he's not just a pawn and he's saved at the end. Because to me, that'd be very stereotypical and I would hate that. I don't mind if it's somebody else, but, like, you have four episodes to write in something that makes sense and that is satisfying. And I don't know if you can really do that. And we haven't really seen much of the Mind Flayer, so I'm like, I don't... Like, we don't really know the agency of the Mind Flayer. So I feel like it has to be Vecna, but there's got to be something else. But that's kind of where I'm at.
So I have
Go for it. No, go for it.
I have one question for you. This is more of a critique on my part.
Oh, okay.
Have they ruined the Upside Down? So I'll let you think of that, but let me present my idea here.
Yeah.
Every season before now, the Upside Down was not a fucking place you trifle with. It is a place you go to very carefully and understand you might get stuck there forever. And like when you go there, if you step on that branch, the big bad knows you're there. Oh, there's bats that will fly around and fuck your shit up. God knows what else here, too. There's demo dogs. There's other shit. And, like, I feel like in the earlier seasons, the Upside Down was this, like, vast,
very scary place.
Massive place that was, like, who knows what around any corner. Like, it felt like there was, like, a whole ecology or biology. I'm not sure what I'm trying to say here, but, like, there was a whole environment there of like creatures we probably haven't even seen yet that could just be like a mouse that like burrows through your leg or something. And this season, it just feels like everybody just kind of waltzes in there. There's no scary bats. There's nothing to really like. There's Demogorgons, but they're not even like ever one. I mean, they're in the Upside Down, but at most they're traveling through it. They don't really stick around.
Yeah.
And whereas before it was like, you don't fucking want to be there because they're literally actively there.
I kind of want to get into a larger point with what you're saying.
And then my last thing is like I feel like the wall kind of ruined it for me, because like the whole idea of the Upside Down was that it was like another world, not just like a little city. And maybe the wall isn't supposed to be there anymore, or wasn't, or maybe that isn't a retcon. It's just a retcon or a plot addition, whatever you want to call it.
I get the idea that the walls just showed up recently in the last 19 months okay. to block everything else out.
If that's the case, then I'm a little bit more okay with it. But that's my...
So, this gets into a larger point that I have. And one of the things that I think that the show's missing, and I kind of compare it to the franchise Alien a little bit. So, have you ever watched the Alien movies?
First one, I've watched Prometheus. I watched the sequel to Prometheus. I forget what that was called.
Covenant?
Was it Covenant? No, what? Or yeah, it was Covenant. I haven't seen Romulus yet, though. Or the Romulus two and three. Good.
Okay, I'll just get into like the first like three.
Okay,
and then I'll just kind of describe. So, all like I think like the first like four movies are had some really good directors, but each director had its own take on the Alien franchise. The first one was very sci-fi horror, like it was all dark spaces. You don't really see the monster much, and the xenomorph is just killing people one by one in this really dark spaceship. And then you get to the second movie, which is arguably the best movie of the franchise, but this movie isn't really about the sci-fi horror. It's about the sci-fi action. You have these group of Marines taking on these more xenomorphs, not just one. And you get this, it's a different feel for the franchise. It's still good in its own right. James Cameron did a really good job at the movie. Again, it's arguably the best movie of the franchise, but it's not horror. And I feel Stranger Things did this a lot. The first season was very much into the horror. It felt like The Stand. It felt like that idea of these four boys finding something horrifying or mysterious, and then they try to figure out what's going on. It's a very, you know, Hollywood trope, but it's something that we're familiar with, but also new. Season two gives us a really similar vibe, but more action to it. And then season three went all basically kind of took the horror out of it and went more this body snatcher action vibe and kind of took out the horror of it. Went more sci-fi than it did horror. Season four, which I think is again up there with season one, brought back the horror. Right, oh, the first season or the first episode is arguably one of my favorite premieres in any television, like first seasons. Like it was an amazing premiere, and it really brought in the horror in this idea that like Max might die, and like she's the next one, and like we're horrified because like we want like Max, we don't want her to die, and she's, you know, numbered, she's counted down.
Well, and then so, how the kids die is also like. You're like, oh,
gruesome.
Fuck. Yeah.
And season five took that away. It's not Alien. It's not Stranger Things horror. It's not Nightmare on Elm Street. It's an action movie. It's a superhero. Elle's a full-on superhero in this. Jumping around. And, like, that's fine. That's where her character was going with it. Vecna showing up in episode four felt like a supervillain coming up and being like, oh, like a boss in D&D making their presence. And that, like, D&D is a good representation for Stranger Things, but it took away the horror. So when you say that the episode down is ruined, I don't know if it's ruined necessarily, because it's still an interesting place. It's still a dangerous place. But yeah, you kind of took away the mysticism. You kind of took away the horror of the world. We're not that terrified of it because our characters are just going in and out now, and it's becoming more action-y. And I feel like it takes away a little bit from Stranger Things.
I agree. I 100% so agree.
That's my long-winded way of like answering that question. But it's one of my larger points of season five and why I'm kind of in on it. All right, I have two major questions, and then I think we should get into the ratings and all that, and then our next show of
hell yeah
discussion. Okay, my two questions that I have. Who is going to die, and who is guaranteed safe? Because we're losing somebody.
So this is where I'll say this. I don't know if we are going to lose anybody, because this is one critique I've always had of Stranger Things. Maybe they'll change it because it's the last season. If they do change it because it's the last season, it would be kind of a tried and true stereotype, but it would be, you know, whatever. Is there always scared to kill off main Carter? They didn't even kill off Max last season. They still kept her around. They're like, well, we can't really.
Yeah, she has consequences, at least.
There's massive consequences, for sure. That was Hopper. At least refreshing. They didn't kill her. They didn't kill Hopper. They haven't killed.
They kill everyone that's new. They kill people who are new.
That's my problem with it, is that they always, like even Derek, I'm like, are they going to kill this kid? Just because he's, like, the new, like, kind of lovable, like, little doofus? Possibly. Or Holly. You could see that. I mean, it would be really freaking dark, but I could see it.
I actually think I know who they. I have a list. I think I know who is there. Who they're going to kill that fits the new person thing.
Hit it.
Okay, so here's my list. Right. I wrote six, but I'm like, I think a buyer might die.
Oof.
Will, John, Joyce. My vote is John, mostly because, like, what the fuck does he even have to do with anything other than
to get hitched? Okay, actually, out of all the characters I want to have live, I probably would put John and, I'd put John and, what's his fucking name? Steve. At, like, the top, just because, like, they're both just, like, Steve's like, I just want to live in my quiet hometown. Just hang out with my peeps. Maybe meet a girl. Call it good. And Jonathan's kind of the same way, but he's more like
No. Steve wants to travel the country. And
okay,
then
even better than he's like, I want to go out. I want to see the world. I want to get the fuck out of here. And Jonathan's kind of like, you know, he's just like, I just want to get back to, like, normal, be with my girl, and be done. And, like, I want to get married, like, pick if, you know.
Yeah.
All that stuff. So, like, I hope it's not them, but I could see that. Do you think would they kill Joyce?
I don't want them to kill Joyce. They might. I don't think they're going to kill Will, because it feels... Yeah, but I feel like they should have killed Will. They probably should have killed Jonathan, because, like, what are you going to do? Joyce should be more of an active character, but she's not doing anything, so maybe she does die so she can, you know, inspire Will or John. And honestly, none of them might die, because they're the buyers. They're kind of like the main family. Here's who I think is gonna die. Okay. I think Robin's a goner.
I can see that.
She's a new character, season 3. Fits the new characters die trope. Right?
Yep.
One, Shock Jock. That refers her.
Yeah.
Also, the actress was like, I want my character to die. She did state that.
Why would you say that? Not like to the actress. You're like, why would you say that out loud? Like, you could tell them privately, but, like, all the Robin stands are gonna be like, I don't want you to die. I do like her.
And she's inspired in her biggest role right now. I mean, other than facilitating coded messages, is inspiring Will. So if Robin dies, who's gonna be inspired?
Yeah, in, like, a dark way too. He might just go, like.
All right, other ones, Hopper. I think he should have been dead already. Even though I like David Harbour, but Hopper.
I think Hopper is like Jon Snow, where you just can't kill him. He's like that guy. Like, he lives to fight another day.
Steve is up there. Not that I want him to die. I really like Steve. Oh. I have a freak out, by the way. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about that. Murray, I think, is on the list, but I think I love Murray, but I'm like, he's on the list. Also, a new character would fit the mold. Out of the four boys, though, I think Lucas might be number one.
I could see Lucas dying. That would be really sad.
I don't see the point of it, but I'm like, if they're bold enough to kill one of the four boys, I think Lucas is the one that they can get away with. I don't think you can. So, speaking of guaranteed safe, I have Mike on that list. I don't think you kill Mike.
Okay, can I have, like, a big... I want to say something. This might be controversial. What's but that? Haley and I were talking about this, and I will actually be so fucking pissed if they go this route. And somebody's going to cancel me for this. Because I feel like they've been trying to drop hints, and I'm like, don't you fucking do this. That's stupid. And it's, I feel like they're trying to set Will and Mike up. And I'm like, if they fucking sacrifice the 11-Mike romance so they can have those two hook up, I'm like, this is the stupid, that's literally...
I think dumbest I don't think they're gonna do that at all.
I hope they don't, but like every fucking stereotype in the book is pointing at it. When when Robin's talking about like how did you know, or Will's asking like how did you know, and she's like, well, you just kind of had that relationship, and then like 10 minutes later, it's like them joshing around outside the car, and I'm like, don't fucking do this. It doesn't make. And then last season, like Will crying in the car because Mike's obviously cares about 11. I'm like, don't fucking do this shit. Like, I hope they don't. I hope I'm just they're raging unnecessarily. But
if Will makes it, he's going to have his lover because Robin's going to die. Sorry,
it's the trade-off. Yeah.
Maybe. I think Dustin's guaranteed safe. I think he's not. They're not going to kill Dustin. No. I think there'd be a revolt if they kill Dustin. I think Holly's safe because I don't see them killing her. But who knows? Did I have anyone else guaranteed safe? No, I only had the four.
Here's a question: is Max safe?
Oh yeah, Max was my number one. Yes, Max is safe. They're not killing Max.
What kind of, again, this is gonna sound so horrible because people do go through a horrific accident. So like for her though, like what does she, I feel like she's gonna be, didn't they say she was blind now in the real world?
And then, I feel like that's a retcon because like she's like, I can't see, but then like she doesn't have the scratches on her eyes. She has her pupils back. But I feel like if she does come back and she gains her body back, I think she should be blind. But who knows? Maybe she has superpowers too, like Will. I don't know what the show is.
Interesting. I don't know what this.
But yeah, ooh, I had a point that I was going to go and I lost it. What was my point?
¿Qué pasa?
I don't know. All right, let's get into ratings. We can talk about it later if I think of it. All right, what are you giving the rating for the show, and where do you rank it? Where do you rank Volume 1?
Okay, if this was the season, I would say 3+.
That's where I got 3+.
I would say it's so hard to say. I would probably put it.
It's not great. It's solid. It's close.
There's a lot of great moments that I was like, hell yes. Like the crawl when they start singing that. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like watching all the groups are like, we got there, blah, blah, blah. Like that was sick.
That should have been the first scene, by the way.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Like, hey,
That should have been the first scene. And then we got into everybody's like where they're at. That would have been dope. But no, they wasted it. I feel like it was a wasted moment. Yeah, I gave 3+. Where I have it rated, I feel like it's just season 3. Like, that's how I feel about it. I'm like, it's solid. It's a 3+. It's good. Some parts of it's great. I'm enjoying it for the most part, but I'm also just like, I'm disappointed because I'm like, the writing should be a lot better. And it's not. It's very plot heavy. It's just like, we're going to give the fans what they want type of thing, or we're going to give them cool moments rather than letting the characters lead, and you have a lot of characters that are just kind of thrown to the wayside, Joyce being the number one. So I don't know where to rank it. Like, I would say it's maybe the worst
season so far.
It may be number 4. It might be number 5 or number 3 with like season 2. It's in that category of 3+ because that's got season.
Sweet, it's got season 2, season 3 to fix to
4 up. Yeah, 4 okay. episodes. So that's where I'm at with it.
Where do you think it's going to end? Actually, before you go any further.
4-.
Okay, that's kind of where I was like, also leading. Like, I don't think it'll be a perfect.
I hope it's getting better.
Okay, anyways.
So, most valuable character. I think my number one might surprise you.
I'm trying to think who I'd put as my favorite character this season.
Most valuable character.
Most valuable character?
Mm-hmm. Who's the best character?
Like they're trying to get us to, like, in this case, like, the answer would have to be, like, Will, because they've given him so much more focus this season.
I have Will number two.
But who do I like? Like, who do I feel is the most valuable character?
I have Robin on this list, too. She's number five.
Is Robin number one because she's going to die to
Will? No. Robin's number five. Robin's number five. I don't think she's the most valuable character. This one's going to surprise you. I think it's Mike.
See, I feel like Mike's been sidelined so heavy.
No, Mike's the leader. Mike's the one that's pulling it in.
Interesting.
He's got the best plan.
Oh, the scene. Okay, so really random, but the scene with him and Lucas in the bathroom was actually hysterical. Like, them screaming, just trying to deal with the water. Anyways, but yeah, I guess he's got some moments. Honestly, I really have enjoyed. For me, it's maybe it isn't valuable. Maybe I'm not, like, doing this the right way. But I do think Dustin's had a really interesting turn about this season. He's taken on kind of that gritty fuck you of Eddie. And then he's also, like,
I disagree with you.
Interesting. Like, he's been like sidelined because he's being a dumbass. Yes, most valuable, but like,
I love Dustin. He's one of my favorite characters.
I would at least say it's my favorite character development.
Steve's,
or like
Steve and Nancy are up there too. I really like Nancy as a character.
Also, can we just talk about how stupid? Okay, we didn't get into this, but this was one question I was going to ask. This is really 2 seconds. I swear. I was like, are you guys kidding me? Who's Mr. What's It? It's fucking Vecna. Come on. Like,
Oh,
there's been this weird psychic guy that's kind of fucking shit up all the time. Who could have abducted our sister? And she's been talking to this imaginary friend. I wonder. Maybe it's Vecna, but we should ask Mom to find out. Like, obviously.
The fact that she's like, she has an imaginary friend. Like, man, if I'm in this fucked up, like, situation where they're like, I have an imaginary friend, I'd be like, what? Tell me more. But this is more further concludes that, like, our characters are so within themselves that they're not even, like, part of their family. They don't focus on their family, especially the Wheelers. They do, like, none of them pay attention to each other. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a shit family. But yeah, I have to finish up. For most valuable character, I have Mike. I do really like Nancy. I do really like Steve. They played their part, but it's just there's not a whole lot of focus, which is why I wish they killed more characters in like previous seasons, or you know, just written better roles. Because I really hate the Jonathan Steve fighting for Nancy thing. Mm-hmm. Also, I think Steve is a better fit for Nancy at this point because I think. Like, it's very clear that Jonathan's just, like, not into it.
Well, I do think that, like, which is weird because he got a wedding ring for her. But I do think, I thought they were trying to put that to bed and just say, like, definitively Jonathan and Nancy are together. Because Steve said, dude, I'm but not
they
even
trying.
He was, like, Steve was just, what did he say? He's basically like, I'm not even trying to fight for her attention, dude. Like, you guys are, like, clearly miserable together. That is, like, the one damning. Yeah. It's like, that's not good.
That was a good point on Steve.
Where he's just like, I don't, like, she's my friend. Like, when should we go, visit her? That would alone maybe be like, damn it, I love Steve, but I'm not team Nancy Steve. I'm team Nancy Jonathan all the way.
All right. Anyways. I have a little bit more and we'll finish it. All right, most valuable villain.
Will, obviously. 100%. Dude, what? Now that would be a fucking twist. Like, I was waiting for them to be like, that not being like, I've been.
Oh, that was just two seasons. Oh, the Dustin thing.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I gotta get on that. All right, I do have Vecna number one, but I thought like the government and like the Lieutenant Halls is decent worthy, but yeah, it has to be Vecna. Number four is the writing staff. Yes, like
well said.
Truly, like they might be the true villain of this season. At the end of this, I don't have a whole lot.
That's
of trust
like you
right
need
now.
To put a TikTok. That's 100%. That's TikTok worthy, right there.
We'll see. We'll see. All right. Most valuable performer. This one's tough. I don't know. I'm giving it to like Robin's role because I really like that actress. I think
my
characters just. Yeah, I think. I give it to her so far just because, like, Will, L, Noah Schopp, Millie Bobby Brown, it's just, like, they're fine. Finn Wolfhard is dope, but like, not like he doesn't have like that gravitas. Or I'm like, David Harper is great, but he's not, you know, doing anything that I'm just like, oh man, the acting. Winona Ryder is sidelined, so I'm just like I feel like it's Robin by default, but there's not really anyone that I'm really, yeah, like the actress who plays Holly I think is doing well. I think Sadie Sink is doing well, but they just, their roles are meh.
Also side really, yeah. Okay, I know we're talking. Okay, we'll go through. I'll ask you my Sadie Sink question after this. Go ahead.
All right, and then my last little bit here is most valuable new character, because I always feel like Stranger Things is good for that. I have Derek.
Yeah, Derek's
awesome. But I do think Holly is in like that honorable mention of, I think she might be a better character overall, just because what they're doing with her.
Derek's just funny. Derek's...
yeah.
TVH.
Like, he was such a, I like when his dad like passed out and he's like,
he's just like,
it's just like,
okay, stroke again.
Like, it's like a dick move, but you're like, I don't know why I enjoy watching assholes be assholes on television. It's a fun watch, but I hate them in person. Mm-hmm. Like, this kid is a fucking dick. I don't really care for, like, if I met Derek, I would want to punt him across the room. But that being said, watching him and like sticking up for his like fellow kids at the end to the government, I'm just like, all right, that's pretty badass. I'm like, that's very Cartman of him. You know, like, fuck, like you hate him most of the days, like, if you're like in a room with him. But like when shit gets tough, you're like, all right, I at least can depend on him. Like, I'm happy he's being a dick for us rather than to us. All right, my Dustin take. I don't mind the Dustin thing. I don't mind that he is essentially grieving. I don't mind that he's having this like down arc, that he's just, his personality changes. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. My only problem with this is he has the exact same arc as Max from season 4. It's virtually the same thing. Her brother dies. Damn. She goes different. He's doing the same thing. And I'm just like,
I would say it's the same thing, like, but it is different. Where, like, I think Max was, like, actually genuinely, like, because to me, it was always very implicit that she was deeply depressed and, like, almost even suicidal to a point. Because I think that's what Vecna said he's kind of targeted.
Yeah.
And I feel like Dustin would have been a great, if Vecna was doing his usual op, then Dustin would 100% be a subject, but in this case, though. Huh? What was it?
Vecna's being Pennywise.
Yeah.
Go after the children. They're easier to fear.
Yeah. That part was all. It's like, all right, that's where we're going. All right,
Pennywise, calm down. Might as well just dress as a clown, Mr. What's It.
Yeah. But I do think. Sorry. I do think Dustin's more like the rage path, where he's like, I want somebody to pay for this. And I do hope he gets. I know he's. I kind of hope they were foreshadowing that Dustin will get, like, he might not get the final kill shot on Vecna, but he's going to get to do something sick, I bet. Based off him saying, if I could take out Vecna, I would, but I can't. I feel like that's such a setup line of like, he's going to do something.
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping so. All right. Well, I don't think I have anything else to talk about Stranger Things unless you can come up with something.
I have a question for before.
All right.
Who is Sadie Sink going to play in the MCU?
I have a feeling she's going to be a role that we're not really... Like, they're being coy about this, but I also feel like her role is going to be small and not a character we're really, like, known.
I thought they said she was going to be in a major role. Somebody had
a major role, but... she's going to be like the Punisher's sidekick, which is, I forget what the character name is, but not a major character.
Somebody said Firestorm, and I was like, that would Firestorm be would interesting. Be
cool. Firestorm would be cool. We'll see. But
because it would be sweet to see like old school Spider-Man and friends in the MCU. Like if Iceman showed up for a little bit,
yeah,
that would be pretty cool.
That'd be dope. Firestorm would be dope. All right, we're going to come back shortly for Pluribus. We're going to take a quick break. Mm-hmm.